Yeah, but going back to making a decision, nothing big, especially big, right? Nothing big happens in life without a decision. And so,
Generally,
yeah,
yeah.
I've been, my husband and I have both been reading this book called The Power of Decision. And, you know, it's especially good for people who like to weigh their options
That's me.
and weigh them over and over and over again.
That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. I have analysis paralysis because I can see both sides of or multiple sides and how, the pros and cons of everything and weigh it out and get more information and find out more and da 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 da, right? And just get more information, get more information, get more information, and the next thing you know, nothing has happened.
Are you the sort of person who makes decisions fast, or do you get analysis paralysis? That's the topic of today on the next Harness the Power of Planning podcast, coming up next. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Harness the Power of Planning podcast. I'm Allegra.
Hi, I'm Natasha.
And this week, we are recording not live as you are used to, but after the fact because I was traveling for the eclipse. Woohoo! Yes, and that's of course what we're going to chit chat about because it was a very unique experience. I have never seen a total eclipse before, and 7 years ago when the last total eclipse happened, I was listening to someone describing it on the radio and I got chills. And that's when I decided that I had to see the next total eclipse. And 7 years, I can't believe it's been 7 years.
That's wild. I know, right?
Yeah, time
Yeah.
flies, man.
It's crazy because we weren't in the path of totality 7 years ago. We were like in the path of like 90%, so pretty darn close, but and I can't believe I was thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, that was like 5 years ago. No, it was 7 years ago.
Seven.
Yeah, and I had to dig. I went, digging through my photos to see if I could see it. I'm like, oh no, this is holy crap, this is 2017. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's time is, tricky.
I can't believe it's been that long, but it was cool because, you know, there just aren't that many things that you plan that far in advance. So to have been chipping away at it for 7 years because I had two friends who live in the path of totality, and some of my girlfriends, we have a commitment to get together once a year to, you know, vacation together. And just, I mean, really, it's like a week long slumber party. It's so much fun. And
So fun.
yes, slumber parties are fun no matter what age you are.
Damn right.
And so, because most of my out of state friends are actually east of the middle of the country, we decided to meet in Indianapolis, even though that wasn't necessarily the guaranteed best view. And so it was really exciting to just say, you know what? If we get to see it, we get to see it. If not, we get to see each other. And we did pick a museum that was having a party, a total eclipse party, as many locations were. So we were in Indianapolis, as you can imagine. The Motor Speedway, where the Indy 500 is located, was also having an event. And I just thought to myself, oh, I'd rather, you know, I want to be somewhere pretty. And so this museum that has a botanical garden as well, and they were having a Dali exhibit, which I love Salvador Dali. So it was kind of just, you know, no matter what the weather turned out to be like, we were going to have you know, cool things to do and to hang out and everything. And so it was really, yeah, it was really fun.
Sounds like a
And
blast.
yeah, it was a really interesting experience. I didn't realize how cold it was going to get.
Do you mean when
You
the moon went
think?
in front of the sun, or do you mean just in general in
Yes.
Indianapolis?
Yes. What? No, when the, no, because okay, so apparently I brought California, we brought California weather with us because the day before it was raining and cold, the days after, so we were there about 3 days on either side of the eclipse, and it was cold and rainy pretty much most of the time, except the day of the eclipse, it was 76 and clear. And
Amazing.
there were people in shorts. I mean, I wasn't in shorts, but there were people in shorts. And so the weather was perfect. And we ended up having a great view. It was funny too, because apparently Texas, right up until minutes before the eclipse.
Yes. I was with a friend today who was in Austin for it. She flew home. Her family's in there. So she's like, I'm just going to fly home for it. She said it was hazy and overcast. And she's like, except for when the sun, when the moon was perfectly centered in the sun, she's like, the clouds parted. And for like 5 minutes, it seemed like the skies were clear, you know? And she said, and then you watched, you know, the moon move out of frame. And it was, she said, it was crazy. It was nuts.
Yeah. So it gets surprisingly cold during that time, in a way that, I mean, I noticed the temperature drop when the sun sets, but this was a lot, this felt a lot more sudden.
Yeah.
I guess because you went from, right, it's 3 p.m. So it was, you know, very warm versus sunset at 7. You're like, it's already been cooling off all day long.
Right. It's been gradually getting colder. Yeah. When 7 years ago, that was the thing I noticed too. I was just like, oh my God, it's really cold all of a sudden. You know, it's wild how, you know, how freaking cold it gets when the sun is not shining.
Yeah. It felt like that scene in Chronicles of Riddick where they're outrunning the sun. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
I have not. But
it's nighttime and everything's fine, but you have to, the sun is, you know, about to rise and they're outrunning the sun. Of course, someone slips and gets burnt to a crisp in the sun. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it felt like that. And it was interesting too, because when the sun, when the moon is covering the sun before and after the total eclipse, it's kind of an orange color in the sky. But then when it covers the sun perfectly, the corona that you can see looks white. And so it kind of looks like that. What's that eye in the Hobbit, in the Lord of the Rings?
Oh, yeah. The Eye of Sauron.
How do you say that?
Sauron, I think it is.
Sauron? I have no idea.
S-A-U-R-O-N. I don't know. I mean, my kid's reading that right now. And my husband's a huge Lord of the Rings nerd, so he could tell you the exact pronunciation. But that's what I remember from the movie. The Eye of Sauron.
I don't even know if I'm remembering it correctly because it was so long ago that I saw the movie. But it's just like this black pupil with just this white flames around it.
Wild.
And it's so surprising that it switches from orange to white, just like really white. And, you know, none of our cameras captured it well.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to see the like super high def camera. It's amazing what the eye sees versus what the camera sees. You know, you think it's going to capture what my eye's saying, but no, it's not able to.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely a unique experience. And you know, the DJ played Total Eclipse of the Heart and, you know, people were dancing and it was a really fun event. And my daughter loved it. She was a little tired, you know, from all the activities we'd been doing with our friends. And, you know, I've been giving her some more flexibility, but she's getting to determine her bedtime more. Mm-hmm. And she chose poorly the night before. And I said, hey, you were the one that chose to stay up. You knew what we were doing today. And this is what adults have to do when they make bad choices the night before. So get ready.
Is that what they call natural consequences? Is that the thing that they're talking about?
Exactly. Consequences.
Natural consequences. Yeah.
But she had a blast, and yeah, there was like there was face painting and the it's spring, so the flowers were many tulips, so many tulips of all different colors.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was a fun event, and it was a fun trip, and it was a fun experience. So glad I did it.
All of it possible through planning, right?
I mean, planning. And also through making a decision, like when something really speaks to you, when I got those chills and I said, I'm going to the next one.
Nice.
I stuck to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so when something speaks to you in that way, chase it. Go for it.
Isn't this your year of intuition, right? Haven't you declared this the year of intuition? I mean, I get that this was something you followed 7 years ago, right? But you followed through with it this year too. And I remember you were telling me about it, that not only did you book the flights and figure out where you were going to, what part of the path of totality you were going to visit, But you also really thought ahead and booked reservations and restaurants, because a lot of these places were descended upon, like, with droves and droves of people. My friend said 1 million people came to Austin. And my parents, who live in Burlington, it's a city of 40,000 in Vermont. They had 100,000 people descend on it because it was the path of totality.
Wow.
Yeah, they apparently had a beautiful clear view as well in Burlington. Making reservations ahead of time was a smart move. Really smart move.
Well, and also just talking about intuition. So 2 days before we left, I was talking to somebody about where I was traveling to. And she said, I'm from Indianapolis. And I said, can you tell me if there are any good spas? You know, I'm always looking for a good Korean spa because that's my thing. I knew there weren't going to be Korean spas, but I thought, is there something similar? And she said, well, nothing like a Korean spa, but there is a really cool natural mineral spring about 2 hours away from Indianapolis. And she kind of gave me a look like, you're going to like this. And it's in a historic landmark building. And I was like, ooh, tell me more.
Yeah.
Historic architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And there's great hiking in that area. And I was ding, ding, ding. It's like, oh my gosh, you're ticking off all my values here.
You know, you got to share all that info with me because, oddly enough, next month I'm going to Indianapolis.
Yes.
And for the actual Indy 500. And so you got to hook me up with all of the tips and tricks. Because I definitely did. You get to go to the spa?
I did, and it was great. Fantastic. It was so interesting too, because, well, first of all, so that was Tuesday, and we left on Friday. We left Thursday afternoon. Sorry.
Oh, right.
So that was Tuesday. So Tuesday night, I called my friend. I said, hey, can we talk Wednesday morning? I have this new idea I want to throw at you. And she said, okay. And so Wednesday, she and I are on the phone. I said, can we make this happen? She's like, I've never been there. I've never even heard of this. You know, she's lived in Indianapolis half her lifetime, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we were on the phone, and then we were on the phone with the spa, you know, going back and forth. Well, if we schedule this and we schedule that. And of course, there wasn't a lot of options because of the eclipse.
Yeah.
And they were hosting their own eclipse event. And we had two children with us, my daughter and her daughter. And you can't be in the resort under 18. And so we had to figure out this whole thing where it was like, well, if our husbands take the girls to get mani-pedis, well, we're doing our thing and then we can switch and, you know, all this thing.
Yeah.
And it worked out. It all worked out perfectly. And we were so glad we went. It was a really fun adventure. And I highly recommend this location. And yes, I'll share all the details. And for those listening,
thank you.
So funny enough, there's two resorts a mile from each other because I guess there was so much demand for these mineral waters back in the early 1900s
that one
gigantic resort was not enough. There needed to be two. And they're they're less than a mile apart, but they're technically in two different. One town is called French Lick.
Okay.
And I know that sounds really odd. So I'll explain really quickly. Apparently, it was a trading post established by the French, you know, hundreds of years ago. And there was a really well-known salt lick that, you know, the livestock, the animals would all use. Yeah. So it was called French Lick. The competitor was built however many years later. And that one's called West Baden. And so West Baden Resort Springs and French Lick Springs. And
wild. Yeah.
Yes, but cool. Of the two, French Lick was the original one, but I far prefer the West Baden one. And just look at pictures of the place.
It's
stunning.
I'll see if I can scoot away. You know, we have like day after day of, you know, IndyCar related activities. Yes. This is my husband's 50th birthday present, getting to go as a family, and we have a bunch of other friends too, so it's gonna be fun. But yeah, it will be very, very motorsport heavy. And it is going to be the focus. So I don't know if I'll be able to scooch away for a 2-hour trip out of town, but we'll see. I don't know, we'll see. And any other, you know, any other tips or tricks or anything else that you've got from your trip, I'd love to hear about.
Definitely lots of recommendations. Awesome. So I will share them all with you. But it was a great trip. And I'm so glad that, you know, I stayed true to that moment 7 years ago when I said, right, I need to do this. And, you know, you and I have talked about the power of making a decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's funny because people ask me why I waited so long to have a kid. And for those of you who don't know, my husband and I were together for a long, long time. We were together 12 years before we had a kid, and we had been married for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, I didn't decide to have one. We literally, up until 3 months before we got pregnant, had not decided. Literally 3 months before we got pregnant, we were like, okay, we're going to do this. And then, holy crap, we're pregnant already.
Wow, you guys are potent people. Yeah.
Well, this is going to crack you up because we got pregnant on our baby making trip. And my friends were like, of course you did. Of course you did. Only you could plan
a baby making trip and then make the baby. And that then is, that does sound like epic Allegra, like really on brand for you.
I don't know how, you know? Yeah.
I could tell you how.
I decided, and my body was like, okay, open the gates.
I feel that. I mean, it's great that you had 12 years together, you said, right?
Yes.
Where you were chosen to just be a couple and not, you know, be child-free at that point. And that gives you a lot, they probably gave you a lot of opportunities to try all different kinds of things together and just, you know, travel together and do, you know, things that sometimes are limited when we have kids. That's great. I think it's great that you wait.
Yeah, but going back to making a decision, nothing big, especially big, right? Nothing big happens in life without a decision. And so
generally,
husband and I have both been reading this book called The Power of Decision. And, you know, it's especially good for people who like to weigh their options.
Mm-hmm, that's me.
And weigh them over and over and over again.
That's me. I have analysis paralysis because I can see both sides of, or multiple sides, and how, you know, the pros and cons of everything and weigh it out and get more information and find out more and right? You know, and just get more information. And the next thing you know, nothing has happened, right? And then, or you get into a bind. We've talked about this before, where because I'm an obliger, it has to have some kind of, you know, catalyst outside of myself to push me into making a decision or going ahead and, you know, pulling the trigger. And that's not always the best way to make a choice, right? Because then with all the information, when push comes to shove, a lot of times the final decision is made impulsively, even with all of the analysis and all of the weighing of your options. I don't recommend it. I don't necessarily recommend being an impulsive decision maker either. You know, like there's got to be a nice middle ground. I haven't found it yet. I haven't found it exactly, but I've definitely seen the value in making a decision and following through on it. And I feel like it'd be much easier for you to go like, oh yeah, well that was how I felt 7 years ago. And it, you know, like maybe, you know, like you could easily talk yourself out of it. Right. But you were like, I made this decision and that's it. I'm sticking to it. Right. Your life circumstances hadn't changed so dramatically that it would be unfeasible, or is that a word? You stuck with your decision and look what was possible out of that.
Well, and for anyone who's thinking they want to see a total eclipse, let me tell you that I did not know they happen somewhere in the world every 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some have shorter amounts of totality, but I was talking to someone last night and he said, oh my gosh, I really want to do that. And I happened to look up where the next one is going to be. And the next one is you have to be like in Spain or that area.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't need a reason to go to Spain. Like,
right. Northern Spain. That's exactly what my friend and I were talking about today. She's like, next one's Northern Spain or Finland. She's like, you know, those are the choices. I was like, that sounds great.
Yeah. Those both sound fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So just if something sounds interesting, investigate it, because you never know what else you'll experience. I ended up having so many moments of synchronicity mm-hmm. during this trip. Mm-hmm. And
right. Yeah. So it's like it's like a really great balance of like prepping, planning, but then also spontaneity and kind of going with the flow, right? Like the spa thing was like a last minute thing. Intuition. Exactly. And these moments of synchronicity, like you said, right? So it's not like every single minute is planned, you know, but yes. having the planning is like the framework that you get mm-hmm. to then have experience the spontaneity and allow for your intuition to come through and, you know, follow what your heart desires in the moment and see where it takes you, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I love about travel. That's like my favorite thing about travel is, you know, I feel like it brings out the best in me in some ways.
Well, it's my husband and I love to travel together mm-hmm. and we did it a lot more before we had so many commitments. I'll just say commitments because there's many of them now. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely something that when we're traveling, we're like, oh, right. I remember liking doing this together.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is one of the things that was, you know, us, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And so that's really fun to experience. And then it's also fun to, you know, my daughter is almost 14. And now these are memories she's going to remember.
For sure. Unlike
that 0 to 10 age. Yeah. That seems like it's just for parents, really. mm-hmm. But it was so wonderful. So I'm glad I made the decision. I'm glad I left enough space for these unexpected, wonderful things to happen. And I'm glad I chose, you know, based on outside reasons that were in my control, like what places where I wanted to be and things I wanted to do rather than the weather. Because, you know, there were some people who were in Indianapolis for the eclipse because they had come after leaving Texas. They went to Texas. Yes.
Oh,
a bunch of people apparently changed their plans at the last minute. And that just sounds really stressful. So my piece of advice to you would be, anyone chasing an eclipse in the future, is to pick the place you want to be and to mm-hmm. let the weather do its own thing.
Yeah. Don't worry about the weather. You had all these other things planned. So if it, you know, if it was a fail, it wouldn't have been a wasted trip, right? It's not like you would have gone for however many days and been like, bummer, we waited for that eclipse and it didn't, you know, it happened, but we couldn't see it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I got to see these girlfriends of mine. I mean, that was fantastic. You know, I went, this museum that I went to, Newfields, I would absolutely go there again in a heartbeat. It was so, it's a great museum. So it was just and I had one of the best meals that I have had. I feel like it was better than anywhere that I ate in Europe last.
Really?
I feel like the best, most creative, best execution meal that I have had in years.
I'm sure they're all booked up the week that I'm going to be there for the Indianapolis 500, but you still have to give me the name of that restaurant.
Yes. Oh my gosh. They had a dessert that was just green apple sorbet. Doesn't sound like that amazing, mm-hmm. but then they topped it with aloe vera pieces. Mm. I want to say aloe vera jelly, but I really think it was just the slices of the inner part of the aloe vera, but they had somehow de-slimed it, but it was cool. So it was a little bit crunchy and oh my gosh, I don't even like sorbet and it was good. I was it was amazing. The food was so good.
Trying to picture what that tastes like, or I'm trying to figure out what that tastes like. I'm so interested.
Like when you eat a really good meal and you don't feel the need to add any salt, mm-hmm. nor are you thinking, I'd really like some bread with butter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. It was, the best lemonade I've ever had in my entire life.
Really?
I'm going to be craving that lemonade for the rest of my life. Their execution was perfect.
Perfect. Sounds amazing. Sounds
anyway, so we've been chit-chatting forever. We didn't even get to our topic yet.
Well, you know what? It's funny because I feel like this conversation like really directed the topic. Like, and I feel like I want to share something with you about decision making. I said earlier that I have trouble with it, right? And the power of it, right? I feel like that's become sort of the topic of today, even though we had a different topic planned. I am so excited because I now have a newly erected studio in my garage, which has been a long-term plan that took forever for me to pull the trigger on. We had multiple phases, and we got finished with phase one back in August, and now here we are in April. And I had trouble pulling the trigger because of a lot of different little mini decisions that needed to be made, and me going, well, what is the best way to have this set up? What's the best thing for this? What's the best? What's the this? What's the that? Right? Just kind of like, you know, and then just not really pulling the trigger. And then, you know, with us thinking, well, we could do part of it ourselves, and then we could have somebody come in and help us and stuff. And that's just started to seem like unrealistic and complicated given our skill set, even though people keep telling me how easy it is to just like frame out a wall, and it's really easy, you know what I mean? Like, but we've just never done it before. And I've seen, you know, I've watched HGTV a bazillion times, so I get the concept, but we don't really have like the exact right tools. We'd have to rent them and blah, blah, blah. You know, it'd just be but you know, there was a moment there where I was like, well, we could do a lot of this ourselves. Well, eventually, just finally 2 weeks ago, pulled the trigger and just said, you know what? I'm just going to put this project out there on Yelp and see what responses I get, you know, because I didn't even wind up, you know, asking friends for recommendations and stuff. And so had several people respond and come and give quotes and so forth. And last Friday, this guy and his crew came and framed it out. And here we are Friday, a week later, and I have a studio. It exists. Now, there's a lot finishing touches that need to happen, like flooring and some molding and stuff like that, and covering the outlets and moving all of my stuff in there. But the big bulk of it is done, and it was literally just the decision to do it, right? It was it was enough of the dragging my feet and, you know, thinking, but, you know, and then you know, him coming along going, okay, what paint color do you want? And I was like, oh, right. I hadn't even thought of my paint color scheme, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I thought of so many other things, but hadn't thought of like, well, what color do I want the room, you know? And got an electrician in there and put some new lights in and some outlets and so forth. So the power of making that decision, you know, now has me, you know, now I have a studio, which is really great moving things forward, because this is, we're just trying to expand the square footage, usable square footage in our home, so that our boys can have their own rooms. Cause right now I'm occupying the third bedroom. So they've been sleeping in bunk beds for too long now. the last 2 years. It was probably, we could have done this 2 years ago probably, but the power of making that decision and actually getting it done. I remember my husband a while ago, well before he asked me to marry him, he said he was listening to someone who basically had said, you know, you think that you are giving yourself more freedom by keeping your options open, right? But until you actually make a choice, you really don't know what that exploring, like the outcome of what that could be, right? So keeping your options open is like just not really committing to anything, right? And just kind of like taking a little bit of this here and a little bit over there. But until you commit to something, you don't really get to see fully what it could be, what the outcome could be, you know? He said that this talk that he'd listened to was one of the reasons, he had a few reasons, but that helped him come to a choice of like, oh, I'm gonna ask her to marry me. So I was like, oh, thank you, whoever you were on that CD that he listened to, you know, decades ago. But just that concept of like, yeah, in the case of my studio, keeping my options open gets my studio not built. You know what I mean? It gets it, you know, so like that's an obvious one, right? In the physical world like that, it's just kind of like not committing to going, all right, we're going to have somebody else do this. And we're going to, now I need to, but once I made the decision going, we're not going to do this, like, let's be realistic and recognizing that somebody else is going to do it. Then the next steps become obvious, right? Then the next step is, okay, find this person. Okay, get some estimates, that kind of, choose the person, right? So when you decided that you wanted to go to see the next eclipse, okay, where are we going to see it? Which one, you know, and then you can buy your tickets. So until you make that decision, you know, there's not much to plan, right? You can't plan for anything at that point.
And you can also you know, might as well start because there are lots of things that might come up that make it challenging.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of airline tickets, the popularity of the venues, that all of these things can come up. But the funny thing is that it felt like the right decision. And even when things, like, I thought we were going to have all these points to be able to book it, and it ended up being, I guess, because the eclipse was happening, way more expensive than I was expecting. And right around the same time, someone gifted me as a kind of like an honorarium, like I had done some work for them kind of pro bono. They gifted me like travel coupons. Like that they had got from Costco or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And so I ended up using those and it ended up costing us nothing. So that's, it's amazing.
Awesome.
It's amazing the way things come together once you decide. I mean, yes. I'm not saying that I've never had a bad mechanic or a bad this or a bad that. Like, hey, I've had all those experiences, but the vast majority of the time, things have really worked out in a way that is beyond what I could have planned. Like, I couldn't plan like for someone to gift me these random gift cards, you know?
Right. Yeah, of course. Couldn't plan that.
Yeah. But as soon as I was gifted them, hey, I knew what I was spending them on. And so
there really is
start moving in that direction.
Right. There's that old quote where it's like, you know, there's power in, oh shoot, I'm forgetting it now, but there's power in beginning. That's it. Power in starting, right? There's genius in starting and beginning and taking that first step. I'm misquoting it at the moment, but there is this quote that talks about there is power in taking that first step. Absolutely, 100%, I believe that. And I think even from like a meta perspective, even when things maybe don't turn out exactly as you'd want them to, or maybe even looking like, oh boy, this was quote unquote the wrong decision, a lot of times it comes back around eventually recognizing like, oh, maybe it wasn't the wrong decision, you know, I learned a lot, you know. I definitely can have that perspective in like past relationships, right? You might think, oh, that was a failed relationship. But, you know, when I look back on them, those are, you know, broken relationships. I would say those all led me to, you know, this lifelong partner that I have now and having gone through those, right? So that's, you know, personal development, I guess, but I think that's true in a lot of other decisions as well, that like you kind of can't get it wrong, even if on the surface it seems like it might not be in the moment. You can't really get it wrong.
No, as long as you learn the lesson that you were supposed to learn. And if you listen to our other podcasts, you know we have learned a lot of lessons.
We have learned some lessons and we probably have some more lessons to learn,
in our 50 years. But you know, in those first 35 years, there was definitely a lot of learning that happened because of the cosmic 2x4 of life smacking me over the head.
Right.
And saying, not that direction, this direction. And now I feel like because the last 15 years, I've been much more in charge of like who I want to be and what do I want to learn and what do I feel like my purpose is here. I feel like I've been learning by choice rather than having the cosmic 2x4 of life force me to learn, which, you know, one of my spiritual mentors would say is not an accident. He believes that's the whole reason we're here, is just to become our best self and, you know, and learn to become our best selves, and that either it happens by default or by design. And so I'm choosing the by design method. And I can tell you the last 15 years have definitely been much less painful
by design
the 35 years before that.
So I mean, like, I'm definitely encouraged by this, you know, by going ahead and like making that decision, taking that first step, right? You know what's funny, because you know how you and I, when we first did our very first monthly course correct, when we were, you know, just chatting about our wins and so forth, and you gave me the permission to celebrate what I would have considered a small win, and I would have absolutely just kind of discounted it and not considered it an achievement or, you know, something like that. I found myself doing that with this project because we hadn't built it, right? Because we hadn't done it.
Oh my gosh.
You know? Yeah, silly, right? So, but I realized that's what I was doing. I was talking to this friend again, who I had spent some time with today and known me for a long time and went to Austin. And we talked about it. I was talking about the project and she was like, wow, it just really sounds like you're not giving yourself any credit for what's gone on, you know? I was like, well, I didn't do it, you know? And so, you know, we talked about that, you know, and I talked about how, you know, you had said, and since then I've been practicing a lot. I've been a lot better at giving myself credit for things that there is to give credit for, big and small, celebrating wins, big and small. And so it's like a little confessional. Like I hadn't realized that I was kind of like, you know, poo-pooing it because we hadn't done it ourselves, you know? And my husband, who's like relentlessly positive about, you know, achievements, whether it's putting, you know, emptying the dishwasher or, you know, winning an award. He's just like, this is great. Look what you did. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I haven't really done anything. Blah, blah, you know what I mean? And he's like,
oh my goodness.
Know, I know. Natasha. Right? I know. Allegra's like, after all we've talked about. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just confessing that, you know.
Thank you for confessing. I appreciate that. And
it
then
took something.
Sticker up that planner, man. Sticker it up.
Yeah. It took something to recognize, you know, that at the very least, I can say I made that decision to make things happen, right? Other things happened as well. But I can celebrate the fact that I finally just was like, okay, now it starts, right? And so I encourage you out there, if there's something you're hemming and hawing about, take a step, make a decision, choose a choice and follow it, you know? And that doesn't mean that you don't have to course correct. We're big believers in course correcting, you know, if things seem, but make that choice, take that step.
Absolutely.
And celebrate your small wins and big ones.
So thank you for joining us for this week's Harness the Power of Planning podcast.
Dream wild, wild dreamers.
Thanks for joining us for the Harness the Power of Planning podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you listen.